Good morning and welcome to each and every one of you as we come to this the last Sunday before Lent. It's lovely to be able to see you, but I can see a number of disappointed faces at seeing me. I'm afraid that there is no news as yet. We will keep you posted, but it is nice that I have the opportunity to join you for this Sunday, where we have David, who will be preaching for us all about the wonders and the mystery of the transfiguration of Christ. Before we begin, though, we have a couple of notices. One is that we're coming up towards Lent, which means that before you get to everything austere and sincere about the season of Lent, we have to celebrate by having pancakes together on Shrove Tuesday. All are welcome to join us for pancakes in the sanctuary across the road between 5 and 7pm. Do come along, it will be a lovely time. Then on Wednesday, in the evening at 8 o'clock at Holy Trinity, there will be a service of Holy Communion with Ashing as the beginning of the season of Lent. Not related to Lent, on Thursday this coming week at Holy Trinity at 1 o'clock, there will be the funeral service for Oliver Heal, who is church warden over there. If you are planning on coming, might I suggest you come with good time to ensure you get a decent seat. It seems that we're expecting quite a number of people to come along. I've also been asked, on a more positive note, to talk about something coming up in a couple of weeks' time, but which is rapidly approaching, which will be a tremendously good time, which is the quiz night. Last time we had one of those, everything I have heard about it was a roaring success, and we're really looking forward to having this next one on the 24th of February. You can buy tickets in the office with Gail, in various places around town, but also on the website. So do have a look there, and you can place a reservation for how many people you want to come. It's tables of up to 8. But if you don't have a full team, book on anyway, join a table and get involved in the fun. It promises to be a lovely, lovely evening. As we do come into Lent, and as I may be somewhat absent for a small while, there was going to be a series of Lenten reflections available to everybody who is on the newsletter list by email. Now, I know that not everyone's on email, but you might have seen, if you are on email, that we've just started using a new newsletter format, which will hopefully present the information in a nice, clear way that will be better than just receiving a PDF of the file that we use to print out the sheets that we bring in on a Sunday morning. We will continue to print those for Sunday mornings so that you can take your paper copies with you. We think that is very useful. But I don't think it is useful to send a PDF out to everybody where you have to then click into it and it begins with the last page of what is printed and all that and so on. If you haven't received that email and you would like to, either ask Gail in the office to add you to the list, or if in doubt, you can email me and I can add you to the list, or there is a sign-up box on the front page of the website. You go to holytrinityandstmargarets.co.uk, scroll down, and there will be a little box to put in your email, and then you will get the weekly updates and the daily Lent reflection throughout Lent from me. And the theme for those Lent reflections is the prodigal son. We're going to be slowing down and looking at it each and every day through Lent and seeing what there might be to encourage us as we reflect on that well-known story, perhaps from a few different perspectives. So, if you've enjoyed this marathon list of notices, might I invite you all to stand up and think of more holy things as we sing Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, number 234.
Thank you.
are gathered in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Hear, O Israel, the first commandment is this: The Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry, and most grateful. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our collect for this, for Sunday before Lent. Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We remain seated for our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the second book of Kings, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elijah said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so please be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets of Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so please be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over onto dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw them no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 3. "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us stand and sing number 379.
Come on. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than any in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked round, they no longer saw anyone with him except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words on my lips and the thoughts in all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Wow. It's said to be a true story of a 33-year-old truck driver by the name of Larry Walters, who was sitting in his garden chair one day, wishing he could fly. He spent a lot of summer afternoons sitting in his ordinary old aluminium chair, the kind with webbing and rivets. One day, Larry hooked 45 helium-filled surplus weather balloons to his chair, put a radio on his lap, tied a paper bag full of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to his leg, and slung an air gun over his shoulder to pop the balloons when he wanted to come down. He lifted off in his little chair, expecting to climb a couple of 100 feet over the neighborhood. But amazingly, he shot up 11,000 feet straight through the approach corridor to the nearby international airport. When asked by the press why he did it, Larry answered, "Well, you can't just sit around." When asked if he was scared, he answered, "Yes, wonderfully so. Wow." Larry Walters will never be the same again after his trip to the mountain in his little chair. He's seen things and felt things that will shape the way he lives for the rest of his life. So our gospel reading starts off ordinarily enough. Jesus and his 3 closest friends, Peter, James, and John, go up on a high mountain. Nothing unusual there. Jesus often went off from the crowds to pray and rest. All very ordinary. But from here on, ordinary ends. No sooner do they arrive than Jesus is suddenly transfigured. He glowed, as the text has it. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could possibly bleach them. Not only out of the ordinary, but absolutely out of this world. Now, if that's not enough, 2 of faith's most honored heroes suddenly appear by Jesus' side. Moses, the great lawgiver, and Elijah, the great prophet. Law and prophets, paying respect to Jesus. This is both literally and figuratively a mountaintop experience. No wonder Peter, James, and John are terrified. Of course, a little terror never stopped Peter from speaking up. For lack of any other ideas, he suggests erecting three shrines to commemorate the event. Big enough deal so far, but now a cloud overshadows the mountain. The damp air closes in all the world and slips away into greyness. Then a voice of God echoes around them saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Glowing face and clothes, visits from famous figures of the past, hovering crowds and heavenly voices. Wow! It was so extraordinary that when it was all over and Jesus and Peter and James and John were headed back down to the mountain, Jesus told them to tell no one what they had seen. And that made sense. Who would have believed it anyway? But the three of them believed it. They had been there. And those moments on that mountain would forever mark their lives and change the way they looked at everything. Wow. Moments have a way of doing that. It was the same with Peter, James, and John. Up on that mountain, they'd been given nothing less than a glimpse into the future. For one brief shining moment, they'd cracked the door to the end of time, and they would never be the same again. What do we think? When we've seen how everything turns out in the end, will it affect how we view the present? Of course it will. Bryce Hughes had been at the bedside of many who've had experience of seeing past the veil. He writes, "One patient I became close to had a typical experience. While in the hospital, his heart stopped. An aggressive intervention returned his heartbeat. When I came on shift the next day, he had been moved to the ITU. And as I entered his bay, his face broke into a big grin. The first word that came out of his mouth were, 'I've seen the light.'" He described a fairly typical near-death experience. Bright light, overwhelming sense of peace. The upshot of this was that he insisted that his doctor issue a do not resuscitate order. We read in Paul's letter to the Philippians the famous declaration, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." There was a sitcom experience in which Murphy Brown asked the staff about their thoughts or feelings about God. The response of the character Jim stands out. He was an ordinary person and went to church every Sunday with his wife. He said, "I haven't had any experience of God. I go because it's obvious to me that the people who attend are experiencing God. And I'm hoping that one day I will too." I wonder how many real life Jims there are in this congregation today. no great mystery. After all, life is lived in a valley, not on the mountaintop. Things are different between the two. On the mountain, we encounter Almighty God. In the valley, there is an encounter with the demonic. On the mountain, we find our faith's heritage. In the valley, we find those who consider questions of faith as occasion for a battle. On the mountain, God's calming voice is heard. In the valley, human argument is heard. On the mountain, disciples are ready for worship. In the valley, the disciples are spoiling for a fight. On the mountain, the glory of God is revealed. In the valley, the power of sin and unbelief is revealed. O Lord, carry me away to the mountain, might be our prayer. But then we remember the place in our ministry with those who need our help is down in the valley. Do we want to be ready for an invitation to the mountaintop? Well, let's make a few suggestions. Firstly, we should make ourselves available. Peter, James, and John were invited up the slope because they were ready, already, in the company of Jesus. The company of Jesus in this year is here. The church. We must find ways of making contact with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Secondly, we should learn all we can about our faith. The text does not tell us how Peter, James, and John recognized Moses and Elijah, but they did. And they knew how incredibly important these men were. If they'd never heard of them, the moment on the mountain would not have been nearly so special. Thirdly, we should listen to Jesus. Only twice in the Gospels does God speak. Once at Jesus' baptism, and again here. And God minces no words. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Fourthly, we should remember where our work is. It's in the valley. If we listen to Jesus, we hear him say again, go and make disciples. Then we will be ready when the wow presents itself. All this mountain talk puts me in mind of Martin Luther King's last sermon. He delivered it on April the 3rd, 1968, on the eve of his assassination. He concluded his remarks that night. I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Wow. Amen.
Lord, Lord, your gift of free will can be used for good or evil. In the current darkness of our world, we need the guidance of your light. Lord, lead us from darkness to light. Lead us to goodness. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, your gift of human intelligence, like free will, can be used for good or evil. How ironic, Lord, that human intelligence is leading us down a path that threatens our survival on this precious planet, unique as far as we know in your endless universe. Lord, give us the wisdom to use our intelligence in positive ways. Lord, in your mercy, snowdrops and crocuses are emerging from the cold earth. They tell us that another dark winter is coming to an end and that spring is around the corner. We thank you, Lord, for the annual rebirth of our beautiful world. Lord, in your mercy. Whilst the media is obsessed with darkness in our world, there is so much of your creative light for us to cherish: music, art, dance, drama. We thank you, Lord, for these joyous gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for our families, our friendships, our community, our church, and those who built it. To come here in your presence for our worship is a privilege we must never take for granted. Lord, in your mercy. Today, Lord, we pray for King Charles as he battles illness. Let us also remember and pray for others we know who are facing life's challenges. We ask you to give them the strength to bear the burdens they face. And in a moment of quiet prayer, we add our own personal thoughts and hopes. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us respond to the wow of the Transfiguration by confessing together our faith. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. disciples ascended the mountain and saw Christ transfigured before their eyes. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Appropriately, our next hymn is number 1200, 1200, however I'm supposed to say that. Christ, whose glory filled the skies. That's the exciting part. As your Son was transfigured before the disciples, may these gifts be made holy by the splendor of his glory, and our lives be transformed by his presence, who is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. Would you please be seated as our service continues on page 7. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, and according to your holy will, that these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this, the memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, be all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we pray as our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. All are welcome to come to the rail to either receive communion or a blessing. If you would like a blessing, please keep your hands down. I'll be glad to do so. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. Holy God, we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. May we who are partakers at his table reflect his life in word and deed, that all of the world may know the power to change and save. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Having been presented with this vision of Christ on the mountain, let us sing our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision, number 42. Heard that on the mountain we see the presence and the glory of God, and down in the valley we struggle, we suffer, we endure through all kinds of adversity and difficulty. If you find that coming to church is your mountain of peace and calmness, I pray that in this week ahead, as you traverse and live within the valley, that God will be close by you, closer even than your shadow at your right hand, and that he shall bring you again up the mountain to find his peace, his love, and his light in his Son, Jesus Christ. So may the God who's greater than all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and all of those whom you love, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name
of Christ. Amen.